in Podcast Detroit, recording live. Prepare yourself for a hoppy drive. If you're chilling at home, pop that growler and just kick back for the next 2 hours. It's the end of the week, so here's to the weekend. It's Better on Draft with Rob, Matt, Nick, and Ken.
And we are live, episode number 208, Better on Draft podcast. It is going to be a great show. It is the night before the Winter Beer Fest. I am going to be there, leaving tomorrow at 9 a.m. I know Rob is going to be there. We're going to be pouring for Austin Brothers and Grand River. So come over, say hi, be nice to us, yell at us. I don't care. Doesn't matter to me. I'm going to be drinking and I'm going to be happy. So, Rob, what's going on? All right, which kid is it this time?
It has been a very long week.
Amen to that, brother.
Having to deal with the foster care system, which, again, as I will always say on the show, fucking blows. And I hate dealing with the system. But it's the system. But nothing with the kids. The kids have been good. They've been pretty much on winter break this whole week.
Must be nice.
Yeah, must be real nice to, you know, leave messes around the house that needs to be cleaned up. But we're gonna leave that alone. Hi, kids. How you doing?
But I mean, were you a little shit when you were younger?
Hell no. Because I didn't have time to be. I didn't have time to be because things needed to be cleaned. I mean, don't get me wrong. I did get my ass whooped. That's you know, that goes without saying. But, you know, Mama's house was clean because she kept the house clean and we had to keep that house clean for her. So, yeah. No. It's just wish that the house just looked a little better. That's all.
What are you drinking to drown away that?
So right now I am kind of double fisting. I was headed a sour peach IPA. Yeah. Who is this from?
Jamex.
This is Jamex. Sour, peachy. I like it.
Oh, that's also honey.
I was going to say, it's a sour and you like it.
I know. And I have another sour. I have Idle Hands, a Michigan Tart Cherry Sour that is from the soon-to-be-opening tomorrow Ferndale project that has taken over the space over at Axel Brewing, formerly Axel Brewing. The guys in there are doing a pretty nice job in there. The food is looking good. I had the jumbo pretzel before I came in here today.
Okay.
The damn thing was freaking massive. but was really good. And the setup was, when you walk in there, it pretty much looks just like you would walk in there as Axel. As they said, it's like, it was move-in ready. Everything looks good in there. Mm-hmm. So it's a really good space. I'm glad it's back open. Kudos to Dane, Alex, Gabe, the whole crew that's over there that got that thing up and running. And just really looking forward to see what happens in the future. Including one of their new brewers.
Dom from Sellerman's is over there.
Yes, he is.
So I don't know if
they have, and I got to try it. Was that Thursday? It was Thursday. Which, long story short, girls' dance class got canceled, so I couldn't go there by myself. So I ended up just taking him there just to see what the hell happened. I didn't care. I was like, you guys want to see what a brewery looks like? Just come see what a brewery looks like. And so, you know, a couple of the youngest got to run around in the back and look at all the 10-gallon tons and, you know, and everything. So they were having a blast. But they were trying they were making a coffee cider, which tastes very close to Sellerman's. It is really good. I mean, you could just smell the Ethiopian coffee beans just coming off of this stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's really, really good.
I'm really excited because the last can that I had was in October. I kept some. I definitely, just because I always had people over, didn't want anyone drinking them. So I was hiding them in my girlfriend's refrigerator in the back. Nice. She wasn't a fan, so I knew she wasn't going to drink them. But I had that one, and I think they had like a Mexican coffee cider too. So I definitely had both of those rolling. Wendy, what's going on?
Oh, that's about a week this week and last week.
That's good to hear.
I too have had a little crazy time, but Graham's on the mend, so
That's good. Well, what are you drinking to celebrate?
Today I'm doing a variation on our flagship February, and I've got Lighthearted Ale and the New Holland's Poet's Brunch Stout. I'm very excited to try that one.
What have you had so far? You had the Lighthearted, right?
Yep, I had the Lighthearted.
What do you think impressed. Of that?
I'm impressed. I actually think I like it better than Two Hearted.
It's delicious.
I'm not going to lie.
Don't feel bad.
Are we expecting this to be like a year-round beer, or do you think it's just going to be kind of here for a minute and gone tomorrow?
I think that'll depend on the sales. Mm-hmm. If people like it, I think they'll keep it.
I think that's fair. I
hope so.
I saw an article today. I believe it was on some beer website, beer blog, beer news site, whatever you want to call them, talking about how the industry is going light and how light lagers are going to be pretty much the future. And I think it's going to stay because I think everyone in Michigan at least wants that hoppy IPA flavor without necessarily the alcohol that comes with it. Mm-hmm. So people who are also nodding their head and saying, I got two people to the right of me. Why don't we start off with you? Why don't you introduce yourself and tell us what you do?
I'm Danny. I am the co-head of the Detroit chapter of Girls Pine Out. That's what I do.
All right. And next to you?
I am Liz. I am also one of the co-chairs for our Detroit chapter of Girls Pine Out.
So what is Girls Pine Out?
It is a national organization for women who love craft beer and not necessarily are working in the craft beer industry. Like Liz and I do not, but we love beer a lot.
A lot.
A whole lot. Some would say too much. I wouldn't.
I wouldn't, no.
But some would.
Some would. Who cares about that?
So when was it that you started enjoying beer? Legally, of course.
Well, different questions.
I mean, we try and keep, you know, everybody, you know, 21 and over for listening to this. But, I mean, Ken has already explained several times when the first time he was imbibing, so to speak.
What was the question? Start over.
When did you start drinking and enjoying?
Yeah, fair enough. Good call. I guess probably, I drank beer. Like, I drank, like, Molson. Like, that was my beer of choice, right? And there's nothing wrong with Molson. But one day, somebody gave me a Two-Hearted, and it was like, you know, that movie where the eye pupil, like, expands and then contracts, and it was like, I like beer now.
The world opens up.
Yeah. And so I think that was it for me. And then after that, you know, you start going to breweries. And in 2007, when this was, it was real old school, you know.
I'm just impressed that you actually know what day. Like, what
I literally
year.
Remember the day. It was a Wednesday. Like, yes.
Shut up.
I'm not kidding. It was a date. I was on a date. It was for real. And he gave me this. And then I wound up at five breweries that night, because there were five, and just exploring all of these things and graduated IPAs, and now I can drink almost anything. Almost.
That's what she said.
That's... five breweries One? Is a pretty good task.
Yeah.
I couldn't help myself.
Huh? You did five breweries on a date?
She's on a first
date. You
know
what? It was three.
Three breweries on a first date.
On a first date. That's impressive.
And then, this is not related to beer, but my date fell into the river that evening.
Whoa.
And it was also
Tried making, you know, I think he just tried a little too hard on that that first impression.
He did.
Well, I mean, hey, you got to try some beer.
Oh, my goodness. So,
what about you, Liz?
Yeah. So I'm a Central girl.
Oh, right, that too.
My gateway beer was the raspberry wheat at Mountain Town. Mm-hmm. That was all the rage back 1,000 years ago when I was still in college. Oberon. Very early on, I had my now husband's best friend. We went to his wedding, and he got a keg of Oberon. And I'm like, what is this Oberon? What is this? He's like, it's a magic elixir. You need to have it. So he runs up to the bar, gets a glass, and he sets it down for me. He's like, Liz, you need to try this. I said, okay, I tried it. And it was kind of the same reaction for me. It was one of those... Okay, now I get it. You know, so my husband and I have been avid craft beer fans. We actually brewed our own for some time, and then we found out that Detroit area has way too many breweries, mm-hmm. and it's easier for us to make somebody else make it for us.
Does that really take away from the like the home brewing? I guess the home brewing.
You know,
feeling of doing that? Because, I mean, yeah, there are a lot of breweries that are here.
Yeah.
And I know that, for, at least for myself, that there are some things that I want to make because there are other breweries that don't make those.
It. Yeah.
But it is kind of like you said, there's so many breweries that are out here
yeah.
that it's like, well, why go through the whole process? And yeah. does that really just take that away?
Well, so my husband, let me just say, and I love him. If you're listening, I love you. He wasn't very good at it. You know, he...
it's hard.
It's hard. So, like, he would go in, and he had, like, recipes in hand, and he's like, all right, I think I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this and this. He didn't, like, do recipes. He just kind of winged it, and every beer that he made was, like, the same brown or, like, a variant of... Like, we tried to do a bacon beer for opening day for the Tigers. This was, gosh, a long time ago.
Please tell me like, he bacon didn't put beer. The bacon in after the boil.
I don't remember when we put it in. Okay. But we actually used Bako Bits because we were worried about the fat and that. So it was a breakfast beer. I think we drank, like, less than 12 bottles because it was just like it was one of those things you could have one and done mm-hmm. and then we would forget about it. So like mm-hmm. while we love doing the whole process of making beer and things like that, it just ended up to be way too much beer and we ended up having to throw yeah. out half of it, you know. So for us, it's, you know, we've got you know, Danny and I are so fortunate to be a part of this organization mm-hmm. that they ask us to go find new breweries and things like that. There's a brewery literally on every corner. You know, and so to really be
able time to be alive.
yeah, it's a wonderful time to be alive and to be a part of this organization, yeah. to be able to enjoy that. And we've tried a lot of tasty beers and we're looking forward to more opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of which, you know, if you go to mibeermap.com, you can actually find all of those breweries right yes. on a nice mm-hmm. handy Google map, including all the opening breweries mm-hmm. and sadly the ones that have closed mm-hmm. since we kind of started the map. So you're yep. able to kind of see what's going on. We also, you know, have some good border breweries too.
Yeah.
We're not too far away from Toledo and mm-hmm. Chicago. So definitely go check them out, mibeermap.com. I know I haven't homebrewed, and I think this year might be the first year I try it. Now that I have a house and space and a garage where if something blows up, it's okay.
Yep. We have yep. some equipment if you want it.
Oh, we'll talk about it.
We'll talk afterwards.
Wendy, have you ever brewed before?
I have brewed with other groups.
Where at?
I brewed with the Divas at Rat Fest 1 year.
Right on.
That was really cool. That was a
what is
awesome
Rat
experience.
Fest?
Yeah.
Rat Fest is a homebrew festival that was out of Corner Brewing.
Mm. Over in Ypsilanti.
They stopped letting us be a part of it though because we're not an actual homebrew club. But
jerks.
I understand. It was a yeah. lot of fun. I still go and support because mm-hmm. I have a lot of friends that are there.
Yeah.
And then just brewing with other breweries through different organizations. Mm-hmm. So, but awesome. I've never actually homebrewed myself.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually supposed to learn this year. I have a friend, my friend's dad is actually going to teach me. I'm
Aww,
kind of excited.
That's he was awesome. Like, so yeah. sweet.
We got to tour some breweries mm-hmm. in Alaska together and mm-hmm. it was, we bonded over beer.
That's nice. Cool.
And really, that's the thing about yeah. craft beer is everybody bonds over it.
Yeah.
You know, that's the best part of over it.
Yeah.
I well, make friends everywhere I go with beer.
Yep. Yeah, and that's honestly how, if you guys are familiar, obviously the three of us here, I don't know if you two are, with the Brews Brothers,
mm-hmm. yep.
who are a more culturally promotional group of beer-loving fans.
Awesome. For the culture.
For the culture, as they always say.
sorry, for the culture. That's better.
It is on camera, so.
Yeah, damn right. Shout out to Harry. I actually ran into Wayne at Ferndale Project while
cool.
I was there, so. Shout out to Mr. Wayne.
Yep, they did a show over at Old Nation last night.
Okay.
So
nice.
That's definitely a little bit of a hike. But, you know, I met Wayne at 8 Degrees Detroit. I was sitting down by myself drinking a beer, and he was two things next to me, and we just started conversing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of how it is. And there's a lot of people, you know, I've definitely got on my soapbox. I've upset some people with this show. I've upset some people, you know, you can, it's hard to tell on the internet, especially to what your tone is when you're mm-hmm. typing. And I'm like, you know, hey, There's actually a brewery over on the west side of the state, I won't name them, who I didn't write a review. I literally posted because they had, I think, 7 or 8 taps, and one of them was theirs and the others were guests. And I literally just said that. I didn't say it was bad. I didn't say it. I just said only one of their beers. It's, you know, this is what I'm drinking.
Yeah.
And this dude lit into me for a wall of text.
I remember that.
And I'm like, you know, hey, I don't want to upset you. I don't. And, well, you know, if you were to do your journalistic integrity, and head, I literally said it, journalistic integrity. He doesn't know me very well.
What year is this?
This was 2 years ago, I believe.
No, I mean in general.
A year and a half ago. Yeah. It was before the Summer Beer Fest. And I'm like, you know, hey, if you guys are going to the Summer Beer Fest, or you are, you know what, let's squash this over a beer. Let's talk. Mm-hmm. And no response. Ugh. But that's usually my go-to, is that, you know, if we have problems, we haven't talked in a while. Like, I had a friend that him and I didn't talk for 6-7 years. Mm-hmm. And one day we kind of talked, and, you know, we both went through some stuff, and I'm like, you know, let's go meet at Kunin. Because we used to go to Kunin all the time. Let's go meet at Kunin. And sure enough, we talked, and 3 hours, we only had one beer, but we were there for 3 hours.
Awesome.
Because we were too busy talking to each other. Mm-hmm. That it was the area, the brewery, that brought us together. Mm-hmm. And allowed us to have that type of conversation. You can't go having a conversation at a bar. Like, you can't go to Three Nick Scoreboard and have that conversation. You can have good beer.
Yeah.
But you can't have, what's that?
No, I'm just saying, it's like, you can't, like, yeah, let's go to rallies.
Yeah,
you can't do that.
It's a place, you know, for personal business, I think.
Yeah.
Let's take away from bad guy date. What was the first brewery you went to after that? So it could be one of the three you went to for the second time, but
yeah, that's a super good question.
I mean, you remember the date, you
right?
remember how
I really do.
The
I remember
weather
what I wore, dude. It was so cute. It's not important. Anyway,
I remember what I wore that day too. It was a polo.
Yeah, it was good. It's good polo. You know, so that night it was Kunin, Dragonmead, and
Baraboo.
No, nope.
Would be my oh no, Atwater.
No,
we're playing guess that brewery.
We stayed local, and honestly, Dragonmead.
Oh, well, she said Dragonmead and Kunin.
I swear there was one other place that we
Wab? Did you come back out here?
What's the one in Southfield that
all
passed
Clemens
away?
That night.
Copper,
you know what
Canyon?
I mean?
Copper Canyon?
Copper Canyon?
In
Copper
Southfield?
That was Southfield.
You can't. Oh. Can you see that?
It's still for sale.
Yeah.
It's still for sale.
Oh, yes, it is still for sale.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
It's still, when you drive by it, it's still, the building looks exactly the same.
Exactly the same.
The tanks are still there.
What?
Nothing has changed.
I thought they sold, like, it's been a while since I've driven by it, but I thought they sold the tanks.
I thought,
because they were trying to sell it as a whole and then realized they couldn't, so they tried.
Yeah. It was such an awful spot.
I think the spot's so bad that I'm not sure if they could figure out how to get the tanks out of there.
No.
Well, that's what happened to the brewery over above the AMC Southfield, because there's a brewery where that Asian restaurant is that's gone. But they literally put in the brewery tanks and then
built around it.
Put the bricks around it.
Yeah.
So it's impossible to get those brewery tanks out.
This will never go away.
Just better melt them.
Just melt them.
Hey, recycle.
Yeah.
So right. I was going to say, if it's not Baraboo, I mean, Sherwood, because you said the Clem.
No. Maybe it was Sherwood.
There's no brewery in the Clem.
I'll call him. I'll ask him.
Okay.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm not going to do
that. Please
tell me.
So it was probably Dragonmead that I went to after that, because it was so long ago, and it was like when Kunin and Dragonmead in 2007 were just like little babies, and there was just like the bar with like 6 chairs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I remember being at Dragonmead. It was our first one, and I left my date, who will remain unnamed throughout this entire show.
We'll call him Sean. Not his real name.
No.
Or it'd be a really good guess.
It would be hilarious if that was true. But I went to the restroom, and you know, where it was, or maybe where it is, I haven't been there in a while, is down that hallway, and then there was the garage back there. So I was just kind of looking at it, and this dude poked his head out the door and was like, "Hey, you want to see us make some beer?" And I was like, "Sure, I got nothing to do."
Oh my goodness.
An hour later, I came back to the
reappear,
and this poor guy was like, "You're still here." It's like, "Yeah, I'm so sorry. I learned a lot. Can we go?" And I think after that, I went back to Dragonmead, I think, with my dad. My dad's a huge craft beer fan. a small brewery. He likes to make wine. They grow grapes and stuff like that. But took him there. Blew his mind.
Yeah. I was saying, that's the last time he went on a date from OKCupid.
Oh, no. It
this was before that, baby.
It was Mount Clemens. It was...
MySpace?
Oh. It was just... Oof. No, it was just... It was just getting kicked out of one bar. They got kicked out of another bar. Two groups met in the street, and one resulted in a date.
Which then just resulted in your love for craft beer.
Ended in the river. Yes.
Yeah, and him in the river.
Yes.
What I about mean, you, Liz?
Yeah.
Oh, man. So let's see here. I'm trying to do all the math here. You know, I don't really even remember. Like, I had my big aha moment with Oberon. And,
it's
you
funny
know,
that-
so I've been working at Beaumont for quite some time.
Royal Oak or Troy?
Royal Oak.
Okay.
Did my internship there and so on and so forth. So I had some friends that lived in Ferndale, and the WAB, actually, in its awesomeness at that point, one of the OGs at that point. I remember doing a lot of happy hours and things like that.
They still have nice happy hours.
Yeah, they still do have a nice happy hour. Royal Oak Brewery, things like that. I remember going to Motor City for the first time, Motor City Brewing Works downtown. Another OG.
Great pizza.
Ghetto Blaster was just kind of the...
Yeah, there was an episode where they didn't bring us beer, but they brought us pizza, and we were just as happy.
That is okay. That is okay.
Perfectly fine.
You know, so really, like, my first real routine trips to a brewery have always been, you know, those big three, and then...
What about you, Rob? Was it like EMB or...
Wow.
Was that a burn?
Wow.
That was a burn.
Did you want a little aloe for that burn?
He likes to go after the gray hairs. And, you know,
can't have gray hairs when you have no hairs.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
he makes a good point.
And tend to go back to, you know, my days, you know, when Prohibition was still going on. You know.
He was part of the Purple Gang.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. I mean, for me, probably like the first... It was really just that first craft beer I had was it was Dragon Stout, which, you know, at the time I was just kind of, when I was younger, I was just like completely straight and narrow. I was the one who was always a designated driver, taking my friends over to Canada and just letting them drink and have fun, because I thought it was more fun to watch them get drunk and act like dumbasses than actually get drunk with them.
It is.
So it's a lot of fun. And you remember everything. So you get to tell them everything that they did. Right. So, you know, when I actually got of age, then, you know, my first beer was a Molson Ice. Because I was so used to seeing my stepdad drink Molson Ice. I was like, you know what? I'll try Molson Ice. And I said it, and I was just like, this is what I fucking waited for? What the hell is this?
That's rough, man.
And then I told my brother, he's like, nah, dude, you're doing this shit all wrong. So then he went to the fridge, and he broke out with this Dragon Stout. And I was just completely blown away and was just like, this, I mean, I kind of like it, but. This is probably what beer is supposed to taste like. This is a hell of a lot better.
So for those of you who might be a little bit confused, Dragon Stout is a Jamaican beer. So it's not like a Dragon Milk mistake or a Dragon Mead beer. This is an actual beer.
It's too early to make that mistake.
Yeah.
What about you, Wendy?
Oh.
I mean, we're going in a circle.
Yeah,
so.
I mean, it was going to finish the circle up here.
I honestly can't remember what the first craft beer I had that I thought was amazing. I do know that I always say Killian's was my gateway beer.
Okay.
That's me.
Because that's the one that made me realize that beer doesn't have to taste awful.
Killian's was good.
And I drank that for a lot of years, but I was actually volunteering with the JCs at a World Expo of Beer. And I was pouring for Wolverine Brewing. It was before they had the tap room. The only beer that they had on tap at that particular that web was the Light Lager. They had billed themselves as the Bud Light of Web. And there was like four of us pouring out of one keg. And I'm like, this is really boring. How long is this shift?
Oh, my goodness.
And Coonan's was two doors down, and they just had a line out the door. And Senior came over and was like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm waiting for my turn to pour. He's like, we need your help over here. So he brought me over to Coonan's, and he's like, you got to try everything before you start
obviously
sampling it because you got to be able to tell them what they're drinking.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
And I'm like, I look and there's like 13 beers.
Oh, God.
Like four meads.
That's,
I'm like,
that's
a lot of
assignment right there.
I'm like,
yeah.
That's a lot of stuff. He's like, good drinking. We got a line.
Oh, goodness.
I wish somebody would say that to me.
Yeah.
Ever.
So I attribute my love of craft beer to Senior over at Kuhn's.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I definitely started when I was working at Laser Quest.
Oh my goodness.
The post work drink was always Killian's.
Okay.
My friend would always drink it. Like it would be Killian's and a cigar. So that would be like every night.
Wow.
Every night we'd go to his place over in Clawson. We'd smoke a cigar, drink some Killian's, play games until like 4 or 5 in the morning because our shifts don't start until 6 p.m. So
yeah.
Do that and then kind of like rinse and repeat. So it wasn't. So once I finally turned 21,
wait a minute. Why did we have to say that we hit 21?
Well, I mean,
he's the host of the show.
Yeah, correct. You can say
whatever. I changed it.
When I was 21, I was doing the exact same thing.
Okay.
Killian's and a cigar. All still right. Working for Laser Quest.
There we go.
But my first brewery I'll always remember is Black Lotus.
Okay.
Because we were in Madison Heights, so it was the closest to Laser Quest and where my buddy works, so it was easy to go over to 14 Main.
Absolutely.
But I remember falling in love with Dragon Mead so much.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And getting so excited, and Matt wouldn't remember the name, but I can't think of it. It's off of John R. in Auburn. It's some sports bar. And I remember they used to do growlers of Final Absolution to go.
Oh,
and I mean, this is 2007, 2008. Yeah. So this is before like beer bars.
Yeah.
Like, they had Final Absolution and like Guinness. And then like everything else was Crafty or Bud Light, Miller Light, Labatt.
Mm-hmm.
That's definitely, I remember that night because I remember the night that Matt Stafford got drafted. And I remember doing a full growler of Final Absolution and a 4-pack of Kunin's Fourth Dementia.
Did you die? Oh,
I know. but did you die?
Like, I'm drunk just thinking about
actually.
That volume there.
That was a good 8-hour drinking day, so...
Okay.
It was a little bit, but by the time I passed out and woke up at 3 a.m, my friends were still up. It was the repeat of Saturday Night Live, and I thought it was just Saturday Night Live. And so I'm like, oh, it's only, you know, between 11:30 and 1. No, it's like 3:30 and 4.
And
why are you guys up watching probably what you watched back at 11:30?
Right.
They couldn't.
I've done that on opening day before.
Oh.
Came home from being an opening day and watched the game, drinking more beer.
Yep.
And then fell asleep and woke up and it was the replay.
Yeah, no,
the second replay.
I think everybody's done that at least once. And anybody that hasn't is lying. Okay. Lying.
Yeah, I definitely didn't do that in October. So talk to us. What is the objective of Girls Pint Out?
Other than drink beer?
Well, yeah. Well, the objective is to bring women together. So we're in our 30s, and it is harder-ish. It gets harder to meet people. It gets harder to make friends. It gets harder to make women friends for women. It's just hard. Because, first of all, right, going out sucks. Yeah?
Okay.
Everybody's staring at me.
I mean, you're not wrong.
You're
not
wrong. It does. It does. I mean, everybody just got tired. They were like, yeah, I'm over it.
Yeah.
But it's hard. You're tired. You worked 9 hours, and you probably did a load of laundry, and then you had to, like, I don't know, wash dishes or feed your dog or whatever, and now you have to go out? Like, go out? But... I'm not selling it, but what we are aiming to do, what GPO aims
say,
to do.
Tap me in whenever you want to here. I'm just going to let you run this one out for a hot minute. It. Yeah.
What GPO aims to do is to give women the. Please.
Okay.
I could do it, but I'm tired.
Really?
Okay. She worked 9 hours. She did a load of laundry and fed the dog.
Yeah. Actually, she doesn't have a dog. She just cats.
Lots of cats.
Nothing
lots
wrong
of
with
cats.
That. I've got cats.
So really, I mean, and Danny brought me in about a month after we took over the reins of this particular chapter. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it really has come down to, and what I'll build on what she said, is that it's really just an opportunity for girls to get together. It's a safe space. We've had, and I know I tell this to everybody, but it was a very, like,
shining moment, at least, like, I get it now. That's why we're doing this.
Yeah.
Is we had an event at one of our local breweries. So we do a meetup every month. And we had a couple of girls come in, and they're kind of a little sheepish and not really sure what's going on. Or, you know, kind of, is this where we come? Yeah, no, come on. And of course, you know, Danny and I are like, ah, come on, you know, hang out with us. Here, have a beer. Here's some swag and stuff like that. We're a little aggressive, probably looking back at it. But, you know, when they sat down and they all got a beer and we started talking, the beer was flowing, everybody was drinking, having a good time and stuff like that. And these both of these girls, they came separately, said, we were so nervous about coming in here. You know, we sat in the parking lot like, oh, man, is this going to be worth it to me? You know, their anxiety was really taking over instead of, you know, really stepping out of the box. And they were so glad that they did it. And actually, both of them have become one of our regular.
Yeah.
They're jumping on all of our communications, liking, you know, following us. They show up. We've got a one member that comes out from Flat Rock or something. To Detroit.
She just comes up. She's amazing.
So, you know, it's easy for us and to, you know, be super outgoing and active and things like that in these situations because we're the ones planning it.
Right.
But I can certainly understand, and I know that we've all been there where it's like, I don't want to do this. Like, this is a really bad idea. Like, your anxiety takes over and stuff like that. So it's really been a safe space for a lot of women to come in and enjoy each other's company,
meet new people.
You know, we've got a couple of girls that they have kids, they have work.
Yeah.
Leave the kid with the hubby or, you know, partner or whatever.
And to
come out for a couple hours to have an adult conversation with other women that are like-minded.
And maybe go to a place you haven't been before.
Yeah.
And maybe try something that you've wanted to try. And just be here with us. Meet these people. Maybe you never come back, and maybe you do. Maybe you tell your friends and they come and you don't come. It doesn't matter. Just you got out. Mm-hmm. You did this thing with these people who are like you. And it's the safe place.
Yep.
So how do you become a member?
Just show up, baby.
Yeah.
So like I said, we do meetups every month. So we actually just had our Galentine's events over at Urban Rust.
It was amazing.
Last week. Yes. I think we had close to 50 people.
We had at one point 50 people.
Yeah,
for sure.
It was crazy. People brought their friends, and they brought their friends and things like that.
I have a couple of friends who were there.
Yeah.
Oh, hey. Okay. Yeah. Great.
And so it was a really super exciting thing for us because, you know, we always walk in like nobody's going to show up. It's going to be terrible.
There's always that dread. Always that dread. And, you know, you never can predict because at our first one in April of last year, we had like 10 or 11 people.
And my sister and I were like 2 of the 10.
Yes. Which was great. But then at the next one, we had 4. Mm-hmm. And then at the next one,
I think we had 15 or 20 something like or that. Something.
And it builds. Oh, no, the next one we had 4 again. And then the next one we had 15 or 20. And then in September we had about 15 or 20. And then it's just, you never can tell. And it's okay. That's fine. Like, you don't have to come.
How big anxiety do you get when you see the Facebook maybe or interested now? It's the Facebook interested in the event.
So we have, like, event sweats. Like, we're usually texting each other back and forth. Like, a couple days before, like, we get really super stoked. Yeah, she's sweating just thinking about it.
Cool.
You know, so it's, you know, you hope that everybody comes that's invited. You know, that's kind of part of our selling point is that, you know, we partner with the brewery that we work with. They're co-hosts. You know, we operate most of these events out of Facebook. So, you know, so they're a co-host. We've had breweries that have actually brought in food trucks knowing that we're going to be there or at least as part of the promo and things like that.
They give like X percent off pours for a certain amount of time.
Yeah. And so we get the nervous sweats about the day before. She's texting me like, I'm freaking out. And
I was getting the nervous event sweats when I kept looking at the event for Galentine's Day and it was like 8 people have RSVP'd, 12 people have RSVP'd, 19, 28, 43, and I was like, we can't do this. What are we gonna do? We don't have tables.
And that's
not
just,
tables.
And that's
like,
just,
it was just panic.
Yeah. And it all worked out.
And it all worked out. Yeah. I mean, we have a lot of people that are interested. Yeah. They want to keep an eye on it. I mean, I know I'm guilty of, hey, I'm interested. Mm-hmm. Because if I don't have anything else going on, I'll go to that. You know, so yeah. We've had events. I think our Galentine's, we had like 200 people interested.
Oh,
and we had like 50 people like saying that they're going.
Yeah.
So a little panic. But, you know, we just kind of take it as it comes at us and you know, deal with it from there. So...
It's all great, and you should come.
Yes, you should.
You're welcome. You come. Yes, I'll
send you a link. What, you know, my curiosity, because obviously the big thing is promoting beer. I love beer.
Yes,
I love drinking beer. I love sharing beer, especially if you come to, like, my house. Like, I always have, like, the two or three beers that are put away that nobody can touch. Like, now, I've got, like, a bottle of 120 that's earmarked for Ed, who's one of our writers. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, that's the only beer you can't have. You can have anything else that.
Yeah,
fair enough.
What do you think is the barrier of getting women out to try craft beer to just get out there? Is it because it's, you know, pretty much a male-dominated industry in regards to the voices of beer? Whether it's beer bloggers, beer podcasters, mm-hmm. beer brewers, like what do you think is something that we can work on as men, as well as we can try to get to be more inviting?
Put a face on it. I mean, I have a lot of, I manage the GPO Detroit Instagram and I make a point to follow women in beer. So, you know, a lot of it. It's really encouraging to see women stirring, women designing the recipes, picking out how the place is going to look, making the place comfortable for the kind of people that they want to come in, right? Which are women.
Well, it's not. You know, there's no exact answer.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, so I mean, being a woman and being a craft beer enthusiast, and I think this is a lot of why we do what we do is that, you know, sometimes I've had this experience. Maybe not so much now because I walk in, I'm like, I already know what I'm talking about, and mm-hmm. I actually scare guys with how much I know, not only about beer, but I'm a big sports fan and things like that. So anytime that you come in. And they're not expecting somebody that looks like you to have that knowledge base. It kind of it scares people. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like, well, am I the weirdo or something like that? But I think it's really just changing the conversation. It really what it comes down to is that it's, you know, there's women coming into the beer industry and taking all over all facets of it. And mm-hmm. and it, we're not just the token girl because you have to have it because people are going to wag their finger at you. It's there's women that this is what they love. They want to share that passion with other people. And, you know, it just this our organization just gives a little bit more of a spotlight with that.
It gives you a place to go where you know that you're going to be able to see people that are like you and want mm-hmm. to do what you do and learn what you can possibly learn about beer in the industry.
Yep.
And you can have a conversation without being mansplained.
Exactly.
That's a lot of it. Finally. You know, finally, you know, sometimes, you know.
Well, what I think you're trying to say. No.
Oh, man.
It really has here, gotten better.
I have beer. Let's talk it over a beer.
It's gotten so much better in the last 15-ish years. I remember mm-hmm. going to places and, you know, after 2007 when I started going to breweries and asking, tell me what I would like. I don't want to do that anymore. Like, I'm 35. I know what I like. Give me this. Yes, I know what the hops are. I know I don't like these. I know I do like these, so I don't want that. Please don't give me that. Just give me this. It's liberating to know what you like, and it has changed. You don't get the eye roll so much anymore mm-hmm. when you ask, you know, how does all of this work? It's really just people are excited about it now.
Mm-hmm. And you shouldn't get the eye rolls anyway because I know more than enough guys who do the same damn thing.
I know.
Oh, what you do.
Yeah, no, so I mean, like, what would you, so I mean, what are your thoughts, Wendy?
Or
I mean,
you go into, there's been so many times where I've gone into even a brewery mm-hmm. with a guy who does not have the same experience mm-hmm. with beer that I do, and they will talk down to me and then
talk to him,
and he's like, she's going to give me the Right. He's like, she's going to pick my beer out because she knows what I'm going to want to like.
And they look at, like. And they look at the dude when they're answering all of your questions.
Yep.
Exhausting. Yeah. Exhausting.
Yeah.
How is it still happening? It's getting better, but how is it still happening?
It is getting better. Right.
Yeah, for sure.
It is, yeah.
Still. Why is everyone looking at me? You guys are having a good conversation.
I'm just agreeing because, I mean, it's basically that does need to change. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's all across the board, whether, mm-hmm. you know, just be women or in some cases just simply color my skin.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
even just walking into a brewery and it's just like, wow, I'm like the only black person in here.
Well, you've talked about it after festivals.
Oh, believe me, tomorrow I'm counting how many black people are going to be there because I need to know where
count.
My allies are.
Please count.
And I need to know where my exits are just in case some shit goes down. Because you got to be prepared.
That's good. I wanted to ask what the policy was on cursing, so now I know.
Yeah. Oh, you can.
It's encouraged.
Oh, it's encouraged. Oh, sweet.
You can super. Fucking swear if you want to.
Yes. Shit. All right. Because I use that as like a noun and a pronoun.
I'm about to say, I thought that was like my second word.
Ah, it might have been.
Before we take a break, the other question I want to ask, because obviously I think it's something that also needs to bring attention, because you're talking about the eye rolls, and
I
think there's a lot of prejudices about when you go up to someone and you say, what will I like, or what do you think mm-hmm. I'll like? Because what is everyone going to pick? And playing to prejudice and playing to what exists, it's going to be something fruity, something light,
exactly.
something sweet.
A girl beer.
A girl beer.
Not fair.
And that's, I just don't think that exists because, it exists in some people's
eyes.
Yeah,
it does.
Say because they make it.
I stopped asking people what do you think I like. I started asking them what do you like.
Yes,
because then they'll give me an honest answer about what the beer actually tastes like, mm-hmm. and then I can make my own judgment.
Well, I think there's two different conversations. When I go up and I say what do you think I'll like or something like that, they'll ask me what kind of styles do you like.
Mm-hmm.
With you, they'll be like, oh, well, we have this sour and this shandy and this.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a conversation that needs to be had there where a lot of people just need to eliminate the prejudices because there was a point in time where that was the standard mm-hmm. where, you know, not playing into a stereotype, mm-hmm. but most women drank your shandies, your Leinenkugels, those beers. Most, not all, but mm-hmm. most. But as craft beer has grown and people have started to go to breweries and craft breweries, and they're like, well, fuck, I want to try something. It was just like me.
Mm-hmm.
I was drinking Killian's. That's mm-hmm. all I was drinking. And now mm-hmm. I'm like, you know, oh, well, I want to try something else.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, what's our motto? All beer is girl beer.
Yeah. It's on the back of my sweatshirt.
Yeah.
I mean,
all beer is girl beer.
Oh, my goodness. I can't even get my tagline right. Girl. All right.
All beer is girl beer.
Beautiful.
We need to. I'm going to take a little snippet of that.
Well, we will mark the time. We'll be right back. Better on Draft Podcast.
I'm headed for the city. Trouble in my mind. Too young and pretty for things to be unkind. Time is all we have now, so let's make something while we can. I'm headed for the city to make me start again. Cause it's no wonder, gotta get it. No one gotta go, gotta get it.
Test. we are back. Better on Draft Podcast number 208. Still in studio with us, we have Liz and Danny as we are continuing to go through all of the beer we had. I definitely had that Ferndale Project. Yes. That's pretty good.
Yes.
You know, we kind of left. We were talking about, you know, prejudice in the industry. And I kind of want to take a little bit of a right turn over here. And with always segment number two.
Here is Robert with the beer news. And now time for the news with Robert. How y'all doing? All right.
That's why they say he's got a face for radio.
That's right. I do. I do. Although, like I said, with Wayne telling me that I have the golden voice for me doing trivia.
You freaking that, do, man.
Yeah.
Right. Again, if you're listening to this on the way, we're going to be pouring for Austin Brothers and Grand River. Come find us over at the Western Michigan Brewers Guild Festival over at Comstock Park. We will be having a lot of fun, that is for sure, and staying warm.
Yeah,
and
you guys have a beautiful weekend. I think it's supposed to be like 40-something degrees.
I saw something in like the high 30s, low 40s.
Which for that festival, that's like summer.
As long as we don't get like lake effect, like wind or anything like that, we're going to be fine. Yeah. But there was a year. Now, before we go into the news, Matt over at Michigan Beer Box.
Oh, his post.
Posted about bringing layers and extra layers and stuff.
Oh, I saw this post.
I felt a little triggered because a few years ago, we're all driving. It's a Friday. We get there, and I'm the one driving. No, I wasn't driving. Matt was driving. And we get there, and I realized I left my coat.
Good Lord.
So
that was the one that it rained.
We walked in, and I'm like, I don't have a coat. I'm in short sleeves. What is going on? So we get in. I beeline for the merch tent, buy a hoodie, and I'm like, this is as good as it's going to get tonight. And I remember I drank a lot that night because I remember being drunk
on
the way back. And I remember like staying warm just by drinking like barrel aged beers. Cause I'm like, well, normally I'm as Rob mentioned, like he was the driver in Canada. Like I was the driver in Canada watching my friends do like back to back shots of Jaeger.
I was not.
Me neither.
So when he like, I'm always the driver. So I'm always the one being responsible. When we went to No Rules Day, I was the driver. Most festivals, I'm the driver. So I typically have my pours. I'll always ask, especially if it's a high ABV beer that I want, I'd be like, little pour. And I get so upset when people don't listen to me.
Because they think for sure you're kidding.
Because I'm like, I just want a half pour of your quad or a half pour of this.
So many damn beers. You can't drink 4 ounces of everything.
Mm-hmm. So I'm just like, I just want a little pour of this because I want to try it. I want
to
drink
it.
Yeah. And then they bring that happened at Jade and James because I love Jade and James Monkey Butter, their peanut butter stout. And sure enough, they're like, oh, you got to try the Russian Imperial. I'm like, just a half. Just a half. And he poured a full, not like a full to the line, full to the top. Oh, and I'm like, you've got to be fucking kidding me.
Bro.
That's a hard beer.
Trying to get you messed up.
Don't, exactly.
Yeah.
But definitely bring the layers just in case. You never know what it's going to be like, even though, you know, it's Michigan. It says 40. It may say 50. It may not feel the same.
Speaking of beer, someone should pass me another growler. Please and thank you.
And also do not forget there are still those $5 non-drinking designated driver's tickets for those who are driving your friends who are going to be getting drunk at the Beer Fest. And again, those are for your friends to drive you home. Those are not tickets that guarantee a driver for you as provided by the Beer Fest.
Some people have.
Some people have. So it seems like it's something that we have to continually mention that that does not give you a driver to drive you home.
Hotels close by are only $80 too. So
what if it did?
Yeah. And I'm not talking like Joe's random motel. I'm talking like a Baymont Inn and Suites, like a standard.
The lodging out that side of the state is lovely.
Oh, I've definitely stayed in some shady ass places in my job.
In a place called The Shack on the west side of the state.
What?
Yeah, it was near some place called Jug City.
I got bed bugs just thinking about that.
Did you say
that.
Jug City?
I swear to God, it was called Jug City. Jugtown? Jug City? I don't know. It was near Cloud?
Jug Lake?
Is there a place called White Cloud? I'm vaguely remembering this.
I mean, there's White Cloud, Michigan,
yeah,
it looks like.
Yeah, it was there. It was there.
There's a jail over there.
Oh. Well, there's also a place called The Shack, and it's run by very, very religious people who make you turn off your lights and be quiet at 10 p.m. And if you come in after 10, which, of course, we did, you have to be very, very quiet. You have to use a side entrance, and you can't turn on your phone light to get you up the side entrance, which is pitch dark. And it was awesome.
I'm looking it up right now, White Cloud. I've definitely zoomed out a little bit. And I still haven't recognized any place.
Nope, you won't.
So we're going a little more. So it's in the middle of the Huron-Manistee National Forest.
Sure, sounds right.
I don't have...
Very dark. Lots of deer.
There we go. Jesus. So this is how I felt. This is how I felt when I went to Niles. It's basically it's off of 131 between 131 and the lake. It's a little bit north of Newaygo. Newaygo's probably the closest area that you were that has, you know,
people.
Yeah. But yeah, White Cloud is off of 37 and that's definitely in the middle of nowhere.
Is there a Jug City?
I didn't see
Jugville.
I don't know why this is important or not, but is there one or two G's?
Hold on, I did find the shack though. It's actually
I'm really curious.
The shack was the only thing that populated along with Johnny's Motel. The shack, a lakeside log lodge and country inn.
It's beautiful.
All right, time to play over and under. How many stars do you think it has on Google?
Well, she's 500, stayed there. I don't think you get to guess.
567. Oh, that's the only one I want to guess is this one.
Okay, I
want
to say 3.
4.7.
What? That is wildly specific.
Wait a minute. What was the average age of the people that were rating
I don't think that Google. Oh. I mean, it's Google, so it's probably, you know, a bunch of Karens in their 40s.
Oh, I mean, do you remember there being a lot of Mennonites? Is that a thing out there?
No, but I did see, I took the side roads down. I was in Munster, Indiana, and I took the side roads to go to a friend's restaurant. And I saw a lot of Mennonites.
Yeah.
I also saw a McDonald's and a castle.
Oh, my goodness.
I will show you guys during the break so we're not looking through. But Rob, the news.
I was going to say, this is quite a tangent we went on here. Yeah, sorry, buddy.
That happens. That's fine. But... Michigan has come one step closer to reaching a new self-distribution deal for breweries. As we mentioned not too long ago, House Bill 5343 is going to allow microbreweries to self-distribute up to 2,000 barrels of beer to a retailer or wholesaler annually, and any on-premise sales will not count towards that 2,000 barrel limit. It is also going to give more flexibility to beer festivals conducting licensed events, clarify some regulations surrounding the manufacturer and wholesale relationship, and hopefully reduce the frequency of when beer and wine taxes are paid from monthly to quarterly. Now, the vote...
Before you go, what did you pour me from, Jam? This is Cadillac Straits.
It's Cadillac Straits.
So it's their New England IPA Cumulus.
That makes sense.
Yep.
What's it called?
The Cumulus.
Cumulus.
You can. I was like, why am I not liking this? But it's a New England IPA.
I'm sorry. I should have probably. Hey, I tried.
He still tries it.
I tried beer.
He tries beer.
Okay.
Oh, I can drink this.
I mean, I never expected him to actually like this. This is the sour IPA.
So I will say, I'm going to do a shameless little plug here for GPO.
Real quick.
That's the whole show is a shameless plug.
Right.
All right. But I will say, this girl right here got me into IPAs.
I did that.
This was not something that I personally liked. I was definitely, we were talking about cliche female, hey, it's always the sweet beers and things like that. I was like, the IPAs, like, two-hearted scares the crap out of me still. But the New Englands have been a very nice, easy transition. You know, something that's to kind of
tempered. I hate IPAs. I love sweet and sugary beers.
But I mean, everybody, I think everybody should loves sugary beers and things like that. But this girl right here got me into the IPAs.
I freaking love IPAs. I love to have my throat burned out.
I don't
understand that.
It's the same reason why I don't understand why people like spicy food. No.
Oh, I don't like spicy food.
She likes IPAs but doesn't like spicy food. She watches me eat dinner and I throw hot sauce on myself. She's like, pass. No, hard pass.
All right, Rob.
All right, anyway, sorry. All right. And we're back.
Again, and we're back.
And we're back.
And we're back. Back with the news. So the votes, as according to the House's website, it was 100 for, 4 against, 5 not voting. Which I'm curious who the four were that were against this.
I'm sure there's a joke with this, but I'm going to learn.
But you know, it's as obviously this is going to now move to the Senate, and then the Senate is going to put their vote towards it. Which it kind of seems based on the House vote that it's going to pass.
Yeah.
But what I'm thinking is, while this is moving forward, it's great that we're making the move and we're finally kind of making a baby step out of this archaic.
Yes.
Self-distribution limit that's there. Mm-hmm. But it still leaves Michigan as one of the lowest, if the lowest, self-distribution limited state in the country that allows breweries to sell their beer on and off premise. At this point, once that gets passed, is this a point where breweries should just say, all right, well, we got our 2,000, we're good? Or should they just basically just say, all right, yeah, we got a 2,000, now let's make it 5,000? Because I think from what I've read was that the distributors, the main distributors didn't fight it because they saw that, well, 2,000's, that's not going to put a dent in our business.
Yeah,
we're just not going to touch it.
Yeah.
But when it starts to get to 5,000, 10,000, or like Ohio's like, what, 30,000?
It's crazy.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, once we start to actually get to a number where distributors start to say, wait, no, you're taking away from our money. I mean, should the breweries...
You know what that number is going to be? Is when someone like M4 or Oath has a problem with it. When M4 or Oath, who are the ones that are distributing these small 1,000 to 5,000 barrel breweries, because Fabiano Brothers ain't picking them up. You know, Powers ain't. Or if they are, they're doing jack shit with them. You know, look at what Liberty Shoot was talking to us about. Like, you know, they had to get out of distro because they weren't selling. And they weren't selling because the people, you know, they didn't have a sales force. Mm-hmm. And because you don't have a sales force and you don't have people advocating for you, you're shit out of luck.
Really, for Liberty Street, it's a good thing they were able to get out because it's like those contracts are lifetime.
Yeah. They are. They had to sign a non-disclosure. Like non-compete. So they can't distro anymore.
Right.
And I don't think they want to distro anymore. I think they're happy being that downtown Plymouth brewery bar. But in the same sense, like you can't, they'd almost be better off getting a brew pub license and trying to transfer over their brewery to a brew pub license, allow for bringing in alcohol and changing it up a little bit. But, you know, there's only so much that you can do under that 2,000. There's not that many breweries it affects. And the ones that do need distro. And if they don't, if they don't need distro, then they're doing gangbusters. But over 2,000 without in sight sales is not going to affect.
And that's actually would be something that I'd be interested to see. And is it really going to be have that much of an impact, especially for them to have to put so much of their sales, get a sales force? I mean, how many of these breweries have a sales force?
I mean,
some of the breweries that I've talked to, their entire advertising budget is the beer festivals. And then whatever they can get out of their brewery, you know, with sales of their merch and things
word
like that.
Stuff,
and word of mouth. And a lot of them rely on Facebook, Twitter, you know, online presence.
I'm curious.
Are they going to be able to manage it?
I'm curious if we're going to get a numbers output this year, because Rex Halfpenny's Michigan Beer Guide is no longer. And that's where everyone got their yearly numbers was from the. And so obviously those numbers exist, but where is the question?
Yeah.
Where do those numbers exist?
Right.
And how do we get them?
And are those companies robust enough to be able to do that? I mean,
We had Barrel and Beam on for the Fall Beer Fest because they were in town, and they were talking about their sales force was them and their distribution was them, and they are far away in the UP. I can only imagine what they can do. I think, you know, it looks like it's bipartisan. It looks like it's going to pass and there's no issues as it moves to the Senate. I think if it moves to the Senate and it has some issues, that's going to be a huge fight. To go against, because 100, 104, and 5, I think you said. And the most recent one, because there was another bill that just got passed, which was 107 and 1. for the tokens.
For the
tokens. Getting rid of tokens within the festivals. And the one guy who voted against it, some Baptist priest, I think, or something like that. Like, it's a very religious. Very religious reason. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I'm curious what you guys think about why this is happening. We've got a lot of bills coming out through the legislation that is trying to, like, end these archaic Michigan Puritan laws. Mm-hmm. What's changed?
I think the attitude towards the industry.
People want beer, man. Like, yeah.
I mean, that might be an oversimplification.
No, but, I mean, that's it. And look how many breweries we have now.
It's just not stopping.
I mean, compared to from 2007 to now.
Right.
And the amount of breweries that we have, I mean, there has to be some sort of adapting to the breweries and the brew pubs that we have, that you can't just limit everything to just in the microbrewery or the brew pub, that there's people who just want to buy it off the shelves, and there's that demand.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And you've got all of the competition that comes into the state, mm-hmm. the Ballast Points, the Hoppin' Frogs, the Urban Artifacts. I don't even know why I'm throwing that one.
I love Hoppin' Frog, and I haven't had them since they've come on the show, and it really upsets me now.
I had never heard of them, and now I kind of want them.
They don't have a beer under 7%. And they also have Shandy Line, which is like a Shandy Line, and it's all over 7%.
So also
like,
in.
Turbo Shandy, like grapefruit Shandy.
Do
and...
have a Shandy. Okay, you don't need to sell it that hard, we're good. Okay? We're good. I'm in.
I wish the one I wish we could get here is Harpoon. There we go.
So, we'll talk offline, but somebody is going to be in Boston next week.
Oh, somebody.
But I'm sure I can bring some stuff back. Yeah. That somebody's me, obviously. I just spoiled that one.
Completely.
So we have 369 breweries with seating in the state of Michigan. Mm-hmm. We have 21 that are production only, which brings us to a total of 390. Woo. We have another 58 scheduled to open.
Oh, wow.
Where?
Please tell us where.
Where? Well, let's.
I mean,
I'm sure that's on the MI beer map.
Right here.
Wow. Where are you? Do you think that went up all by yourself over there?
Yeah, I did.
Really? I mean, that's the closest brewery.
Yeah.
And 30 minutes if I'm going outside of Livonia. Good point.
Let's see here. We got one in Howell, Novi, Jackson, Battle Creek, Pawpaw, Coloma.
Okay.
Cedar Springs, Greenville, Rockford, Monroe, Richmond.
Aren't there more breweries there? Isn't there another
There's Cedar Springs Brewery.
I did not know that was a place.
I'm like,
I don't know.
All these little towns keep getting multiple breweries.
I didn't know those
breweries. But I can't get one near me to save my life.
To save your life, huh?
Sorry.
Wait, where? What city?
I live in Garden City.
Garden City.
Yeah, you've got...
It don't look good.
Thank you, Supernatural.
Supernatural Canton Brewer.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, Grayling, depending on who you talk to, has two breweries.
Grayling has two.
I was going to say, Grayling has three, don't they?
Rolling Oak.
Paddle Hard and Dead Bear.
Is Dead Bear making their own?
Dead Bear has always made their own.
They've definitely
mentioned it. Grayling, is it?
Huh?
Rolling Oak isn't considered in Grayling, is
it? No, it is. It's right downtown. Oh. It's actually their old trains, one of the old train stations, I believe.
Yes. So Dead Bear, which I have been before.
Yes.
Oddly enough, really good meatloaf.
Really? Okay, so we have not been over there just because I love Rolling Oak so much. So but they don't do food. So.
Yeah, so Dead Bear is pretty much right off the freeway when you get off, right by the hotels, the two hotels that are over there.
It's a very rustic atmosphere.
Because have you been to Spike's Keg and Ales?
Honey, that is like that's like the fourth rendition of that building. It's burned down so many times. My family's been up there for ages. Cursed. But
Yeah, so Dead Bear usually has 3 to 4 of their own and a good dozen guests, and usually their guest taps are on point.
Okay.
So mind you, the last time I was there, so we're going to pretend we're back in 2015, 16 maybe. So they had like Founders KBS just like on tap, just as if it was anything. Just like
okay. Whatever. for sure.
What's going on, Bourbon County? Yeah, like, oh, yeah. I'm like, oh, hi. You have a lot of really good beer. Now, mind you, good beers in 2016, Rob. And we'll kind of talk about that on the next topic.
You know, I had an old Rasputin on tap in Boston, and I thought I had gone to actual heaven. It's maybe my favorite beer.
That's a sneaky beer that I don't think a lot of people, they see it on the shelf and they just stay away.
It's sneaky in other ways, too, because I had three, and then I stood up and was like, well, this is where I live now.
That's how I felt.
That was my first experience with Final Absolution.
Terry's Terrace. I had 23s hosting Quizzo. I sat up. I sat right back down and told the waiter, I'm like, I need water and whatever songs you want me to play.
Yeah.
We used to go to the East Point pub when Jen lived in East Point, and they would serve us Final Absolution in Boombas.
No.
$5.
What?
Holy crap.
They used to do, there's an Irish bar up in.
$20. Drink two Boombas. That's all you needed remember the night. The first thing you did the next morning was check to make sure you paid your bill.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You gave the waitress $10, and you were good for the entire night.
Floated home. Goodness.
It was awesome.
I've mentioned it a few times. Up in Bay City, there was a bar, like an Irish bar, that would do pitchers of Final Abso for $9. There's Lost Leaders, and then there's that.
We've nicknamed it the Mind Eraser.
Yeah. That's totally fair.
Actually.
Yeah.
Nice.
Accurate.
I was going to say, I've never had it before.
More news.
Yeah. More news. More news. We keep going on these tangents.
Well, I mean, the point of the news is to kind of take to the tangents and just come back to the news. All so right. we're doing exactly what we're supposed
back.
To do. Right. So, good old rate beer.
I need to mark that every time we go off on a tangent.
And we're back.
You're welcome.
So, rate beer came out with, they published their list of the best beers, breweries, and brew pubs in each state and across the globe for 2019. I kind of went through the list. I would have to say that this list is arguable at worst.
Well, isn't that what all lists are? I mean, you could be a soccer mom who likes beer, like our writer Ed.
Yes, that is true. Sorry, Ed.
Not
so
sorry.
Many sick birds. Yeah.
All right.
It wasn't me that said it. It was someone on the internet that said it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh. All right.
He just laughed, as did we.
So I'm pretty much just going to go through obviously the stuff that's here in Michigan. So as far as they had a list of. Best beer, new brewer, and best brewer in by sub-region. They just pretty much put it by state. So in Michigan, best beer was Outside Ales' Sweet Potato Soufflé Rye Whiskey Barrel Aged Ale. Best new brewer was Barrel and Beam.
Oh.
And best brewer was Sandman Grand Rapids. Otherwise known as that brewery in Grand Rapids that I won't mention because I just don't mention them.
Yeah.
We know who you're talking about.
Yep. We don't need to mention
them. All right. Best places for beer, best brew pub, Jolly Pumpkin in Ann Arbor, best restaurant, Clubhouse BFD, brewer tap room, once again, Sandman Grand Rapids, best bottle shop, Merchants out in Dearborn, and best bar being Hopcat in Detroit.
Were they paid for these?
Now, full disclosure, Rate Beer is owned by ABI.
Well, there you have it.
So there is that. Right. And then they had the best beer brewer and new brewer by country. And this one, it just kind of it went all over the place. This wasn't just Michigan. But best beer in the U.S. was from Cycle Brewing, the Caribbean Rum Barrel Aged Stout with Coconut. The best brewery was Hill Farmstead, and the best new brewery was Nightmare Brewing Company.
Nightmare is fantastic.
The last part of the list was the top 100 brewers in the world, which this one kind of took off because it was at least in the top 100, there were four Michigan breweries that were mentioned in there.
Very cool.
We posted this on our Facebook today.
We are proud of all of it.
So in the list at number 83 was Jolly Pumpkin. At 52 was Kunin. 23 was Bell's. And number 7 was Sandman Grand fucking Rapids.
You know, I love when Kunin does well because yes. I think Kunin gets a lot of flack.
Yeah.
I think Kunin has definitely had some bad publicity based on beer releases. But in regards to the product themselves, they have, based on what people rate, some of the top-rated beers mm-hmm. in the country, like in the world, for that matter.
I don't think I've ever had a bad beer.
Oh, I've definitely had bad beers from them.
Well, this is, what, the fourth or fifth time they've been on that top 100?
Probably.
Probably.
This is not the first time. I mean, they've got a good track record.
I need to look, because if you go to the site, they do have the previous years that are on there. So I definitely would want to take a look at that, see. But yeah, as far as I could tell, because even in there was another rating that they did, which was like all these different beers by style. And Kunin popped up in there at least twice. Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
So I saw that in there. I think the most ridiculous part that was in this was there was a list of the top beer raters. And it was a person that was in there that apparently had rated over 4,300 beers.
How
sounds like Eric Smith, the guy we always brought in for Ashley's Throwdown.
Yes,
I love the guy. He has definitely traveled the world and drank lots of beer.
Four beer sometimes.
What's that?
Sometimes four beer.
Yeah,
that's living the dream.
Yeah.
He's kindred.
Okay.
I was going to say, I mean, really, isn't that really the, Danny said it, isn't that really the dream?
I mean, that's the one thing, and we kind of talked about the token thing, but God, Ashley's two festivals, the Cascale Fest and the Belgian Beer Fest, if you did not get a chance to go to either of them, you missed out.
Mm-hmm.
Those were two of the best festivals in the state, period. when you have someone like Zach I'm sorry, but when you have someone like Zach from Urban Rest who gets a chance to try Cask Ales and who makes amazing beer already and can take it to the next step, mm-hmm. and you have all these other companies, you know, local, semi-local, coming in and bringing Cask Ales that you've never had before, and it's just so good, so smooth. And what I loved about it, too, is that there's no oxygen, so you don't feel that, like, bloatedness, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. you could just, I mean, I've definitely stayed for food after.
Well, Ashley's food is amazing.
It is really good.
I don't think I've ever had it sober, so I can't be a full judge of it.
I have. Really
shout out to
delicious.
Those pesto fries.
Well, yes.
Considering that I live in the beer wasteland and we called it beer mecca for quite a long time, but Ashley was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So one other quick thing about the reviewers. In order to be in the top 10, you had to review at least 2,630 beers.
Wait, what?
As a year?
In the year. This is ratings for the year. So basically, they even highlighted on here that the person who was 50th needed to add 4.6 reviews daily, every day of the year. And the person who is at the top with 4,365 had to average 11.9 per day, which I love to say, quite an achievement. How's your fucking kidney.
I was going to say. Well, I mean, kidneys and also your palate at that point. I mean, if you can blow through.
Yeah, your wallet. That's what I was counting that.
The guy who is last is on this list has 1,687 ratings.
That is.
Wow.
I feel like I have a goal now.
I've done a lot of traveling.
You okay there?
Yeah, just had.
And when we go to different breweries, we always get samples, and usually we're sharing the flight.
Yeah.
So it doesn't. They didn't say they have to drink 11 full beers.
No,
that's
true.
Yeah, there's zero ways you're drinking 11 12 ounces.
Yeah.
There's
no.
or 11
drinks.
You can get around that without. You know, we're in a group setting, and we all have a flight, and they're all different.
Of course,
I can have 30 beers in one sitting. And I've only drank four or five
total
samples.
Yeah.
I mean, if I almost feel like, you know, if you go to Winter Beer Fest and you give me a rating of every single beer that is there, I might just cover you going to all the rest of the beer fest for
the year. Well, yeah. See, the problem is not trying; it's the reviewing.
That
right?
I don't believe.
That's the harder part, isn't it?
I mean, don't look at me. We've over the last 3 years have decided to never rate a beer again on the show.
It's hard.
Not for it's hard,
it's hard,
but in the same sense, my palate is right. way different than Wendy's, which exactly. is way different than Rob's.
Yeah.
So this beer right here, I'm going to tell you I don't like it. That's not a knock on Cadillac Straight.
It's a fantastic
it's a
beer.
Knock that I just like don't right. like. Exactly.
You don't like that kind of beer.
I always go back to this, and it's the exact same thing, because he's probably one of the most brilliant brewers we've ever had on the show. Travis Fritz from Old Nation. Mm-hmm. We've had him on the show, and I've sold him to his face. I was sitting where Rob is. He was sitting where I am. And I literally said, this beer is horrible. And he's like, well, it's just not for you then. And I'm like, yeah. you're right. It's not for me. Mm-hmm. And it's not a negative to a brewer. Like when we had Kickstand on and they gave me an IPA and mm-hmm. I had the bitter fucking beer face. Mm-hmm. But again, it's not for me. And yeah. that's, okay.
that's okay.
Now, if you come at me with an English brown and I don't like it, we probably have some problems here.
Yeah.
But if you're coming at me with an IPA or a lager or a Kolsch or something like that, okay. You know, there's definitely, but I just can't, we can't rate beers anymore. Like it's over and done with.
Too
I'm like,
subjective.
It's too subjective. It and is, what yeah. you give this beer a 4.5 and then you give another beer a 4.5. I'm like, well, what's better? Why is it not 4.75 or 4.25
uh-huh. mm-hmm.
or, you know, or the people who go way too far and I see like 3.673 and I'm like, how do you get that number?
I mean, those are my kindred spirits right there, because that's where I would do. Well, it's math and science.
And I just think cats. Not doing that, because, you know, I have friends who are like, well, I'm not going to try that beer unless it's at least a 4.2 on Untappd.
Like, well,
what?
I've been to beer festivals, and they're like, yeah, I'm not trying anything less than a 6.0. I'm like, so you're going to have 4. Got it. You know,
we had, if you guys follow us, which you can follow us on Instagram, Better on Draft, Twitter, Better on Draft, Facebook, Better on Draft. If you actually go to our Insta or Twitter, some guy, Beer Fest Guides, tweeted at us. So we have a list for the upcoming beers. We always throw like 20 beers that you think you should try for the upcoming festival. And he's like, oh, we see your 20 and we raise you 859. And it's a list of all the beers and their Untappd ratings. And I'm just like, okay.
Yeah, sure.
Cool story, bro.
Yeah.
That's how I felt. And with that cool story, we'll be right back with the Better on Draft podcast. And we're back. 208 better on Draft Podcast. Still Welcome with us, back. Liz and Danny of Girls Pint Out. You can find them on Instagram at DetroitGPO. GirlsPintOut, I believe, .com is their website.
.org,
excuse me. It is.
.org.
It is a nonprofit.
It is a nonprofit. Okay.
It is a nonprofit.
It is.
So, you know, back in the day, we used to allow, you know, we played games. Matt would always come up with a game, and I have a game, and we've played this game before. And usually it's when we have more casual guests, not necessarily industry guests, but guests who like to have fun.
I like to have fun.
Now, are you familiar with the website Cameo? Now, what Cameo is, is a website where you can pay someone who will do a video for you. So if you have someone who's a friend.
Be a disaster.
Oh, not a good move.
A friend of, say, Bam Margera.
Oh, no.
You guys know Bam Margera from the Jackass, as well as the Bam Margera show or whatever?
And
Viva
rehab.
La Bam. There you go.
Viva La Bam.
And the occasional sense of rehab. Yeah.
You can. You can get a personalized video for him, from him by paying him money.
Okay, yes.
So Bam Margera costs you $65.
That is a steal.
To get a personalized video from Bam, and he'll say happy birthday or Merry Christmas or whatever you want. He's basically what's the common word for it? Whore for money.
Panderer.
Is that how that works?
Why have my friends not done this for me with other people?
Thank you. I was just thinking, I would
do they not love me? What's
I would love
on?
A birthday message from Mariska Hargitay,
now,
for example.
Now, for instance, Jonathan Goldsmith. You may know him as the most interesting man.
Yes.
How much do you think, this is just a fun round, how much do you think it would cost for him? Now, this is not prices, right? You can go over. It's the closest that wins. Now, mind you, I believe the max price for this website is $500.
Oh.
So you have anywhere from $1 to $500.
To have the most interesting man in the world.
The most interesting man in the world send you a personalized video.
Yeah. I feel like he's a high dollar.
I was saying, and I thought there were other people that were on that site that are more than that.
Well, not 500. 500 is the most. Mm. I will give you a major name. Brett Favre is 400.
Favre.
It's Favre.
Should we talk about Wah?
All right.
Patrick Wah.
Patrick Roy.
Qua?
I mean, I'll pay $200 to watch his ass get beat.
Yes! High five.
We've already done that both twice in score and twice on the ice.
Yes.
Claw the Mew will pay double.
So, Jonathan Goldman, how much do you think it's going to cost? We will start with Danny and work our way around.
$250.
All right, Liz.
I'm going to say $145. That feels right in my trailer.
Rob?
Very specific.
Danny took my $250.
That's right, I did.
Damn it.
You're welcome.
Damn it.
Price is right, baby.
Yeah, I know, but that's just no point, because then she's going to just go $252.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to go $300.
$300? Okay. And Wendy?
I'm going to say
$185.
Oh. On the dot, $250.
What's up?
So that is how this game is going to go. We're going to
love this game.
We're going to go over, and we're going to kind of go spot by spot just so you guys get a chance to be the last pick or the first pick.
All right.
So we are going to, again, start with Danny.
Yeah.
And we are going to go with Corey Feldman.
Jeez.
He who wears his sunglasses in the nighttime.
No, you're thinking Corey Hart.
For God's sake! That was hilarious!
Corey Feldman is Mouth from The Goonies. The Lost Boys.
Are you sure that's not the same guy?
I am
sure. It's not the same guy.
A very high up there friend of Michael Jackson who will.
Oh,
you know,
that one.
Yeah, there you go. I don't know why Michael Jackson took that.
We went there.
Everybody liked the Corys.
It's Corey Feldman, yes?
Yes, Corey Feldman. Not Corey Haim.
Not Corey Haim.
Which one is that?
Oh my God. Corey Haim's
the other from Lost Boys.
Oh my God.
It's good.
Then we're the Corys.
From Corey to Corey.
This is almost painful, all right?
I got it.
Okay, I got it. Are you sure?
I'm thinking.
He's the one that. Oh, my mic went out again.
Womp, womp,
womp, womp.
Ugh.
It's my guess.
He's the one that made Chunk do the truffle shuffle.
Oh, I love love that kid. Okay, Corey Feldman.
Not Chunk.
Not Chunk.
No, nobody likes Chunk.
No.
Everybody likes Chunk.
I have feelings about the Goonies. Oh, okay.
All right. And then you've delayed long enough.
Yeah, come on.
I'm trying to gather my thoughts. And my thoughts are 200.
All right.
Buck 50.
All right.
Fair enough.
I feel like that's still too high. I'm going to go 85.
It is a lot.
Wendy is upset that Rob was saying.
Wendy's going to be like 495.
It's 2019, not 1989.
Exactly. No, I'm upset because that's what I was going to say. So I'm going to go 86.
Oh.
Well, Danny is really good at this game because it's $202.
I am good at this game.
What is it, sales tax? What the fuck? $202.
Was it an auction and somebody had a bid?
Yeah, $2.
No auction. This, yeah. That is that
like
is
an eBay
literally
situation or what?
That is literally the number.
Literally.
Literally. Yes, I've used the word properly here. $2. Literally, yes. 202. It is not a figurative 202.
I feel flush with power at the moment.
Well, we are going to start with Liz this time.
All right,
Liz, you're next up. Political figures.
Ooh.
Anthony Scaramucci, the Mooch.
Got a mooch.
He was in the White House for roughly 11 days.
Let's do the Fandango.
He's the actual person that character from Futurama is. You guys know what I'm talking about?
No.
The guy from the 80s? Who was Bonitis?
Yes.
There's somebody
else. It's
out
been
there
a while since I've seen it, but I remember it. I can't picture it, but I do like slightly remember
it's
that character.
It's like a Wall Street sort of character.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. That's him.
The Mooch.
The Mooch. Anyway. How much does it cost for you to get a video of the Mooch?
What's the minimum?
The minimum, I think, is probably like somewhere around the $20 to $25 range.
You know what? I'm going to stick with my buck 50. I'm going to go 150.
150. What? Rob?
I'm still staying low. I'm going to go 65.
65. Wendy?
49.
Oh, 250.
But 20, not 250. I've got another story for you later on. I got to tell you.
Danny.
Right.
My number. What was your number? 49.
49.
57.
57. Rob, what were you?
65.
And Liz?
Buck 50, baby.
$35 off is going to be Rob at $100. Anthony Scaramucci.
100 bucks.
For that
bucks.
Douche?
Yeah, there.
Excuse me. I've had some beer.
That beer wasn't required for
all
that.
All right.
No, it was not.
No, it was not.
He's actually coming to town here in just a little bit.
Nobody cares.
Paul Rubens, a.k.a. Pee-wee Herman. Rob,
oh,
you are first.
Oh, man, this is a good one.
Big money, big money.
Let's see. Does this include him being in a dark theater?
Probably not.
Okay, not. So I also have a supplemental question. Is it Pee Wee Herman version or is it
Buffy the Vampire Slayer version?
Hunger Games.
Was Paul Rubens in the Hunger Games?
Did I hallucinate that?
No, I think you might have hallucinated that.
It looks like he just is himself.
Okay, just as
he isn't a button down.
Just as himself. I am going to say. I'm going to take yours and say 150.
I got to go back and find it. I'm pretty sure I have it. But continue. 150 okay. For Rob. Wendy.
I'm going to say 125.
125 for Wendy.
300.
300 for Danny.
All right. I'm going to Price is Right this shit. $1.
You can go over, so it's okay to go over.
No. Price is Right this shit. Right. $1, baby.
$1. I'm sorry, Rob.
I say 150. 150?
125.
125?
300.
300. $50 off. Paul Rubin, 250.
Oh!
250.
Danny with point number two.
That would be three.
You didn't get the free one. That was practice.
Was the free one.
That was definitely practice for sure. We did. All right. Continuing, we have Mike the Situation from Jersey Shore.
Whatever. Nobody cares. Nobody cares.
It's clear.
Yeah, you got me on that one.
Wendy, you're going to go first.
I wasn't even ready.
The Situation. Do a little fist pumping.
Yeah.
Little.
How many years out are we on that? They got a new one not coming enough. Out, though.
No. Isn't he trying to, like...
Not even
they
nearly.
Have a new one coming out right now. I've seen GTA? All kinds of ads for it. Oh, dear God. 165.
Jägerbombs.
Yeah, Jägerbombs. I mean, it's not that specific guy, but it's close enough.
That's not him?
I would no, think. That was a YouTube video.
I've literally never seen the show.
DJ Pauly D or whatever.
Pauly I was about to say Pauly Shore.
What? Not on Pauly Shore.
No.
Pauly Shore's in there, too.
$1,000. Okay, so for Mike, the situation, whatever is.
Yep, the situation.
The sitch.
$250. Whatever hair gel costs, I don't know.
Well, you know they tax tanning now.
Wendy, what did you say?
That's 165.
True. Okay, 250. Liz.
100. I'm not happy about even that. Rob. But I'm going to say 100.
375.
Ooh, high dollar.
You guys are getting your asses kicked by Danny over here.
This is awful that I know
$300 is how much the situation will cost.
I thought about it getting really? Closer to 300 and I just said, no, it's the situation. He's so going to ask for
He's
something
so
more.
Whiny.
But I mean, if you got money to just gym tan laundry, then I guess.
How
sure.
do you get the money?
I don't know.
Does he work?
All right. we'll go through DJ one more round,
right.
four
right,
more.
One more. Let's go. One more. Come.
See if anyone can catch up. Danny, you are first.
Yeah.
Obviously.
The innovator of the thong song, Sisqó.
Oh, man.
With the bleached blonde hair or without the bleached
blonde? He's got bleached blonde hair in this photo.
That is worth a lot of money. So, what's it worth to me? It's worth $200.
$200.
Yeah.
Liz.
$150, baby.
$150, Rob.
$300,
okay.
Wow. Somebody really likes the thong song.
I don't.
That dress was so scandalous.
I'm just looking for just like obnoxiousness of the person.
Wendy.
Oh, my timetable is way off, so I have no idea if people actually are
they
paying
do.
Attention.
They do.
Anymore.
I mean, that's
I'm
why they're
go,
on this site for a
I'm
reason.
Gonna go, I'm gonna go 175.
Should have went the other way. 150.
Hey!
The correct answer was 100, but
all
150
right.
is still the closest.
Woo-hoo! It's only worth $100.
You could get a personalized message from Sisqó for only $100. That is correct.
Wow.
$100.
All right.
Are any of the puppets from the Blackstreet video on there?
I don't think
wow,
so.
Wow.
I just want to ask why Pizza really Toots like taste like pineapple.
No. It's Hawaiian Pizza Toots. It's an abomination.
I think it's funny.
But
it tastes like pineapple to me.
Huh.
Going back to that. That's
and
quite
like,
all right.
And we're back.
I'm kind of just scrolling through trying to pick out the ones that I like.
All right, so Johnny Knoxville.
I can see if he's on here. Hold
what
on.
What about Stephen King?
Which one?
That would be amazing.
The one you love or the one you hate?
Dad, if you're still listening.
I love all of Stephen King.
I don't know if Stephen King is going to be on there.
Oh, no.
I mean, this is all just basically...
No Knoxville, no Johnny Stephen King. So I'm going to have to...
So I'm going to guess Jason Momoa is not on there.
So much...
Saucer.
Sorry.
Oh, what about Chris Hemsworth? Is he
I'm
there?
Pretty sure if my friends
I'm,
love
okay,
me,
you know what? Everyone's...
I'm sure anybody who has a contract for movies making at least 10 mil a year is not going to be doing little... $300.
Let's get a female on here.
Okay. Okay. Mariska Hargitay.
Who are we starting with?
Oh, yeah.
Liz.
Liz.
Yes.
Tommy Lauren.
Ooh.
Oh, does that count?
Fox News and Blaze TV personnel.
You didn't say lizard person.
What is this, V?
I would want her to pay me. I would want her to pay me to leave me a voicemail.
Exactly.
Tommy Lauren.
It's Tommy then?
$75.
Yeah.
$75.
I can't not read it, Tommy.
My dad just responded that Stephen King is $750.
Oh, he saw it than I did. I didn't see it on
All
here.
Right. Man, saving. Dad's stepping up over there. But I'm going to say it's $75 for the...
For Tommy Lauren.
I'd rather get a plane ticket to anywhere.
Rob.
Oh, jeez. Yeah.
Too much, whatever
it yeah, is. Yeah, just too much.
Price you know, is right it, baby.
Mm-hmm. For... I'm just going to go $250.
Oh, God.
Wendy.
He's laughing because he already knows, and he's like, I know you're all the off, answers. Baby. You're
say,
off.
Did we already say $1?
Oh, we did not say $1.
We did not price this right
that
shit.
I would do that then, $1. That's probably more than I would pay.
That's way more.
He should probably pay you.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
What did you say?
I said $75.
And you said two something?
I said $250.
$100.
Should have tried to price is right Liz over there because it's $80.
Oh!
80.
So you're at 2 points. Rob's at one.
Gee, right. Shit.
Danny's at three. Wendy, with the goose egg.
Today.
Goose egg over there. We still love you.
All right.
Yeah, we do.
So I've got a good one over here. Because he's on the site, and I feel like we're all in the proper age to know who he is.
Oh, Jesus.
Sorry, I'm trying to think of what was his name? Never mind. I can't think of his name. So we're just gonna skip him.
Oh,
here we go. You ready?
Oh, okay, you got this now?
I got his name.
All right.
So his real name is Michael Ray Bauer, but you may know him as Donkey Lips from the TV show Salute Your Shorts.
I do know him as Donkey Lips. He has a real name.
Michael Ray Bauer is his real name. How much would you pay Donkey Lips? I think we're at Rob over here.
85.
That seems fair.
100.
You're still competing against him.
Look, there's like seven people who know who Donkey Lips is, and half of them are in this right now.
I don't know who
that 100?
Is.
Okay.
Oh, no.
I mean, the show, for the amount of replay value, that show only had two seasons.
Isn't
that wild? It was only two seasons. It felt like it went forever.
I think I'd rather have Budnick.
Budnick.
Give me a birthday message. But, okay. Or
Zeke the Plumber.
Or Ugg.
Ugg.
I did like Ugg. Okay. And that's all the names I know, and I'm out. Holy shit.
I was going to say, you're pulling a lot out of your back.
They're speaking a whole other language.
I had like a powder moment.
All right, so Rob, you said 45?
85.
85.
You said?
100.
150.
75.
Wasn't he also 75?
Yeah,
Blues.
No, you're thinking Ethan Suplee.
Sure,
I believe. The answer is going to be Liz again.
Yes.
God dang it!
All right, so this last one is going to be basically between Danny and Liz. Everyone's going to be able to try to get in.
Clear the table.
But
it's going down. Pour me a beer. I have a beer.
There's more beer.
Yeah, we got a couple.
There's a couple that's open.
That slushy's got my name on it right there.
All right. Let's go. You know what? Let's go sports.
That's fantastic. All right, let's
not
do this.
All right.
See, I'm so glad I'm out now.
I don't do athletics.
I do.
You don't
so
do athletics?
Let's do this. Okay.
How? Let's go musicians.
Musicians,
everyone. Music makes the people come together.
Right.
I think that's what J-Lo said once.
Maybe.
Music makes the bourgeoisie sound a rebel.
Oh, my God.
Sure.
I'm a little impressed right now.
Yeah.
All right. You guys ready?
Yep.
Hit me.
Let's do it.
Mark McGrath.
Oh, good Lord.
Lead singer of...
Sugar Ray, baby, yeah.
How much does Mark McGrath cost? Wendy.
$193.
Ew.
Danny.
Oh, you're going to me? Oh, shoot.
Yeah, that's the...
I forgot how circles
work. We've been doing the exact same thing for the last seven of them.
Did forget that. Mark McGrath did things to me in my mind. Good thing.
Was there a halo hanging on the corner of your...
I've heard he's a really bag. Awesome guy in person.
A really awesome what?
I've heard he's a really awesome guy in person.
He's a really great MC.
He seems wonderful, right? He seems like a nice guy.
Yeah, he does do a very good program.
All right, Mark McGrath gets 300 from me.
$250.
Hmm.
You're not impressed.
I mean, hey, he makes money on Sirius. Doing
yeah, he does. Yeah, he's got his own channel or something now, doesn't he?
He, has a he does the weekend 90s. Show on, yeah. On the 90s, yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say 125.
Uh-oh.
125. Wendy, what did you say?
193.
So specific.
There we go.
202 for Corey Feldman? Right? Come on.
That's so weird.
Yeah. So 125.
193.
300.
250.
Well, the winner.
No. No.
Is going to be Liz.
Yay!
But Rob did win that one. The correct answer, 125.
Oh.
Between you two, between you two, you are the closest.
Yay.
At 125. That is cameo.com where you can get great artists like Randy Jackson from American Idol.
Oh my God.
That's a no for me, dog. Happy birthday. Just walk away.
Ryan Cabrera.
Who? Ryan Cabrera. Really?
Who is that?
Isn't
when you started saying Ryan, I right thought now? It was going to be Seacrest,
I
not Cabrera.
Who is Cabrera?
Mickey Avalon.
Right now, oh, Mickey Avalon. I saw
okay,
him
for
a few
all
years
the,
ago.
70 plus.
I'm pretty yeah. sure he's in Ann Arbor tonight
he
with
said,
he
said his own name,
Simon Rex.
Oh.
A little Dirt Nasty so, and Mickey Avalon.
I paid money for it.
He got a gold chain over there.
Oh. I got something over there.
What? Said,
you can get Ric Flair on there too.
Yeah, Ric Flair's, I think, $400. Woo! Yeah.
Woo! That's amazing.
All right. Detroit GPO, where can they find you on the socials?
On the Facebook. It's Detroit Girls Pine Out. Mm-hmm. The Instagram is Detroit GPO. We don't do the Twitter because we don't have time.
And, nobody has time for that.
Nobody has time for that. And on March 18th. We will be at Brewery Faison in the beautiful Island View neighborhood near Belle Isle. Please come 6:30 to 9 o'clock for our Happy St. Patrick's Day.
Happy St. Patrick's Day.
What is Faison in English?
Ooh. Can't you just tell us?
You ready?
You
ready?
Know? Go.
It's pheasant.
Oh, of course it is. That's their logo. Man, I'm an a-hole. Okay. You know what? It means pheasant.
That's right. That's going to do it for us. Better on Draft. Go to our sponsors, North Center Brewing over in Northville, Michigan, south of Baseline Road over on North Center, as well as Zatuna Liquor over in Rochester Hills, just south of M59 on Rochester Road. Go say hi to Jack, but don't stay too long because he will keep you very long. That's going to do it. Better on Draft Facebook, Better on Draft Instagram, Better on Draft Twitter, BOD Podcast on Untappd to find out everything we drank. Liz and Danny, thank you so much for coming to the show. Thank you, everyone who have been in the chat, including the one and only Matt Bush, Adam, Mark, Jennifer, Danielle, Sasha, Esteban. Holly. Plenty of people in the chat. We appreciate you all joining us. You can join us each and every Friday at 7 p.m. Eastern. And no matter what you think of your beer, we think it's Better on Draft. Have a good night.
Peace.